My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always good to have you with us.
Always good to be here. Thanks for having me, Greg.
Absolutely. A couple of nail biters earlier this week, Tuesday, very close for sure, in Mississippi. Rick Santorum, the winner over Newt Gingrich, and Mitt Romney was a very competitive third. Over in Alabama, the same standings, but a little bit of a bigger cushion for Santorum. But in the end, between proportional delegate allotment and Romney winning in Hawaii and some of the U.S. territories, he actually got the most delegates. So what has changed, if anything, in the narrative?
This is a microcosm of what seems to be an overall picture of an eventual Romney nomination. Yes, it's taking him a while. Well, this is what Republican leaders want. They deliberately designed the nomination process so it would be a marathon rather than a sprint. You will recall how 4 years ago, so many people were upset that the nomination battle was over early and there were complaints that the nominee was not truly vetted. That is not the case this time. Romney does not win some primaries, he wins others, as you point out. But he's about at 500 delegates nationwide, depending on whose count you read, and that's just under the half of 1,144 delegates needed to nominate in Tampa. My guess is it will go on this way. He'll win some, he'll lose some, but he's got a big lead over Rick Santorum in terms of delegates.
John, let's go back to a point you made earlier in your response here, and that's that Republican leaders wanted a marathon. What was it about the lengthy battle between Obama and Hillary Clinton that they thought would be a good thing? Did they believe that somehow that lengthy back and forth somehow contributed to Obama's victory?
Well, one has to remember something first. Historically, and more often than not, Republicans have had long nomination battles. It's not just Hillary Clinton or any Democrat. It's Republicans. Ronald Reagan didn't formally wrap up the nomination until early June, a few weeks before the convention in 1980. In fact, his challenger, George H.W. Bush, conceded and got out of the race at the convention in Detroit and even brought along an opera singer who was not too thin to sing. Richard Nixon and Dwight Eisenhower both had to wait till the convention to finally be sure they were the nominees. Eisenhower, in fact, had such a rancorous battle with Robert Taft, and so many worse things were said about each other than are said by candidates today, they had to have another meeting in New York after the convention to smooth things over. So I think part of it is the desire to see a long battle in which all the scars are aired, all the warts are out, and the nominee is stronger, and that's been a part of Republican history.
John, let's talk about a couple other things that happened this week. First of all, the visit of British Prime Minister David Cameron. For a guy who's a Tory, seemed like he was pretty chummy with the president, and even at the state dinner saying things like the president has reset human rights on a global scale. What do you make of the Cameron visit?
Well, going back to Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt, presidents have always had very good relationships with their counterparts at number 10 Downing Street, regardless of party. FDR and John Kennedy were both from the Democratic Party on the left, but they had superb rapport with their counterparts, Winston Churchill and Harold Macmillan, prime ministers on the right. More recently, George W. Bush and Tony Blair. So it doesn't surprise me at all about the relationship between Obama and Mr. Cameron. What really came up in the discussion, and we certainly asked Jay Carney this at the White House briefing, was something really unexpected, and that is strategic petroleum reserves, the idea of opening that up to deal with the energy crisis in the United States and overseas. And apparently the president and prime minister discussed that at length as a serious option. No details were forthcoming. I'm sure they covered a lot of other grounds, ranging from the uncertain European economic situation to the role of the U.S. and Great Britain in Afghanistan. But overall, I'd say it was a productive meeting, and I think Mr. Cameron's becoming a basketball fan.
He certainly caught the very first game of the NCAA tournament. We'll see how many of the rest of the games he watches before the tournament ends. John, the president also going on the offensive as it relates to energy this week, saying that when conservatives deride his ideas for alternative fuels based on algae, he likened it to folks saying that Henry Ford was on a fool's errand with a car. and other modern marvels, radio people saying the television would never take off and so forth, essentially saying that Republicans were like the flat earthers of Columbus's day. Is that going to help the president's case or not?
Once again, this is the problem I've noticed with this White House from my perch in the press room there. And that is that if someone takes a slightly different approach, there can be no middle ground. There is something wrong or something lacking in that person. We've seen it on the idea of getting rid of debt without a tax increase. And, of course, that's known as being the party of the rich, favoring no tax increases on any American. So it is. Republicans in general do support an all-of-the-above concept that would include extending the wind tax credit, going for development of nuclear energy as well as solar energy, and just about all other alternatives that are out there. But they also do believe in the idea of drilling more. In fact, the Republican package legislation on energy, which contains all of the above, has just that, as well as drilling in the Alaskan reserves for oil, something Democrats repeatedly thwarted in Congress, and further exploration of oil in the United States and off its shores. That's something the administration has never fully embraced. So I'd say when someone is narrow-minded and not looking ahead, they should take a look in the mirror themselves.
John, you're a student of history. You've been covering politics in Washington for over 30 years. Was Thursday's speech the first time Rutherford B. Hayes got injected into a debate since you've been in Washington?
To the best of my knowledge, it has. And by the way, just a little factoid, what Rutherford B. Hayes and Barack Obama have in common is something that very few people know.
What's that?
Both were graduates of Harvard Law School.
Hmm.
In fact, Hayes was the last Harvard Law graduate to be president.
Until this one. Very good. John, real quickly, we head into more primaries and caucuses coming up. Illinois seems to be the biggest prize on the immediate horizon. You mentioned before that this is kind of a slow, steady march, in your opinion, towards a Romney nomination. What are you expecting in Illinois?
I'm expecting a Romney win. It will be close, and Santorum will do very well. There's a lot of values voters there. There's a lot of conservatives who think by voting for him, they can punish the so-called political establishment. And remember, Newt Gingrich is not out of it, although he continues to become more and more of an afterthought in most coverage, and either de facto, if not de jure, it's emerging as a Santorum versus Romney race. In Illinois, party organization, county committees, precinct committees tend to mean more than they do in other states, and my guess is that Mitt Romney, with the backing of most of those people who are party regulars, will win in Illinois rather handily. Also, keep your eye on a congressional primary between two Republican House members thrown together, Congressman Don Manzullo and Adam Kinzinger, both conservative Republicans, albeit to differing degrees. That's going to be a very interesting race, considering Majority Leader Eric Cantor and Majority Whip Kevin McCarthy have both contributed to Mr. Kinzinger against another Republican.
Got a prediction there?
Manzullo narrowly. I think that in a time when Congress has lower job approval ratings than used car salesmen, I'd rather be supported by grassroots activists than the people who run the joint.
All right, John, we'll find out if that prediction is correct in the coming days. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Looking forward to recapping this and possibly hearing a recording of my predictions. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.